I have enjoyed what Brother David has brought for us. I too like that 7th chapter of Romans and 8th and 5th chapter of Romans. It's one of the hardest things, I think, for the world. In fact, I'd say it's impossible for the world to understand the concept of original sin, the truth of original sin, the truth of imputed sin, and in like manner the imputed righteousness of our husband, whom we love because he first loved us. Think about that last night. And again, I beg that the Lord will not mark iniquity. That touched my heart last night when Brother Crane spoke that, because that brings flooding back into my heart the depths of that great grace that's been given to us, that he would not mark iniquity. I've got my ways, and anybody that runs with me and my family will find out that we've got our ways. But to start in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord inspires Isaiah to say that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My ways are not your ways, and your ways are not my ways. This morning, and I stand before you in great fear. Not because I fear you. I look out among you and I see many faces that I have come to love. And it makes my heart rejoice every time I come into the company of the saints of God, when they've assembled themselves in a manner of men have established to come and worship God in spirit and in truth. But I fear my Lord this morning, not that I have a stark fear of him, but that I have a fear that I would not do justice or to do any good towards glorifying his name. This morning, I beg an interest in your prayer that we both together, when I say we, I mean me, I'd preach the word and you'd try to hear the word, and all of us together redound our whole heart, mind, soul, strength back to God in glory. That he would be magnified by little creatures of the dust. That's an awesome thing to try to understand. I don't know if we'll ever understand it fully, the great magnitude of our Lord. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, if the Lord will be our helper. And you pray that the Lord will give us direction, whatever we might say. I want to talk about the unsearchable ways of God. You talk to people out in the world, and they try to figure out the way God is. They try to logically understand how God operates and how he does his work. They will establish all kinds of scenarios of how God must have done it. But I find that the Scriptures teach me that his ways are unsearchable. Past finding out. This thought came to me while mowing the yard. And I tell you, for a short while, the Lord poured it out to me, and I don't know if I could ever give you what I had that day mowing the yard. There's a benefit to mowing the yard, because it gets you and the Lord together sometime. We slow down, and if we'll focus our mind upon him, and if the Lord will give us grace for a little while. I want to go to four different accounts, or four different books, and just glean out a few little things before we get started, just to establish some of the things. David spoke of it like this: I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness unsearchable. His greatness unsearchable. I want to come over to old Job's writings. And just to get a couple of things out here, Job answers the 9th chapter. And he mentions the constellations in the heavens. The constellations in the heavens. How the Lord flung out the stars. He made the stars also, the Scripture says. That's no great thing for the Lord. He spoke and it's done. That's a way of God. That's his way.
That's one of His ways. He speaks and it's done. He said, let there be light, and there's light. My friend, that's unsearchable. You cannot find that out. You cannot understand that through a natural logic or through a natural thinking. But He says in the ninth verse, which maketh Arcturus or Orion, I believe. I don't know why I even read these verses that have these names in. But you go read the ninth verse, and then in the tenth verse, what? Which doeth great things past finding out. Yea, and wonders without number. This is our Lord. This is the way of the Lord. In Isaiah, in the 11th chapter of Job, He says this. Or actually, Zophar says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Oh, my friends, it's starting to build a case here that there are things that are past finding out. I want to come over here to Solomon's writings. We've had David, we've had them in Job. Now Solomon writes this in 3 and 11. It says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also He hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. No man can find it out. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, again He says this, after He talks about how God deals and will deal with the wicked, He comes down to this point. He says, when I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the works of God. And a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Shall not be able to find it. Then how in the world can we ever know anything? If we can't go search it out, how are we going to ever find out anything about God? You know, we lose things and we go searching for it. And we search and we search in hopes that we're going to happen upon it somewhere. Usually, as the old saying, it's the last place that you look. It's the last place you look because you found it. Well, my friends, here we've got something that though you go searching, it's not going to get to the last point because you're not going to find it out by searching it out. Now, I know it says to seek the Lord. Seek the things of the Lord. But by searching, you're not going to find it out. It's past finding out. It's beyond finding it out. This great glory of our Lord. One more place, Isaiah. In the 40th chapter of Isaiah, we find this written. It says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the earth, ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. Of His understanding. You know, Solomon was one of the... He was, I guess, in the Scriptures it teaches that he was the wisest man. But Solomon understood. He came to this understanding that you can't search it out. You can't find it by going and looking for it. But there's so many people that are searching and they labor to try to find out the ways of God. And we've already established His ways are much higher than our ways. Our ways are not His ways. The way God has done His will in the armies of heaven. My friends, we can't understand it fully. I want to come over to the Ephesian letter. Paul says that he might preach the unsearchable riches of our Lord. So we're talking about ways that are full of riches. It's riches, you see, that we so desire this morning. Let me come to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm trying to get all my text in. And I want to try to talk about this great unsearchable things that we find. Paul says here in the 11th chapter, 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out, and his ways past finding out, and my friends, and I'll tell you, they're past finding out, and to think about, and the way this Lord, in the very beginning, would create all things by himself, and for himself, and why would he do all this? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the very reason there's a moon and a star above is to give glory to the Father, to give glory to its Maker. My friends, the world asks the question, why are we here? Why are you sitting here in a body, in a flesh? Why are you here desiring to look unto Him? It's to give Him glory, my friends. And my friend, all things will give Him glory. Also, my friend, even the destruction of the wicked will give Him glory. Even when He passes His judgment upon them, Brother Allen, it's going to give Him glory. Because, my friend, He will extract His judgment upon them. He will pour out that. But, my friends, we found something else, and it's not by searching that we found it out. I want to now take a text, if you will, in the second chapter of the First Corinthian letter. My friends, one of the hardest concepts for the people of this world to come to grips with, and that is, they're spiritually discerned. So if we're ever going to find it out, it must have to come through a spiritual revelation. It has to be revealed to us. My friends, if you've ever heard anything concerning the gospel message, if it's ever strummed your heart, if it's ever pricked within you the things of God, if it's ever touched you to hear the things that Brother David talked about, that we're dead in Christ, that we're hid in Christ, and He's hidden God. If it's ever meant anything to you, the saving grace of our Lord, it's because, my friends, it's been revealed to you. I think of Peter as he was there, and the Lord asked him, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Elias, and this other, and another prophet, and this all other." A lot of different answers. They were trying to find out who Jesus was. Many places they looked, and trying to figure out, "Who is this man, Jesus? He's a carpenter's son." That's what some said. But he said, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter spoke up, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." My friends, it was past finding out. My friends, but how did Peter find it out? He found it out by this way. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." If you've ever seen Jesus as the Son of God, if you've ever seen Him as the promised seed, as that one that was promised in Isaac, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." If you've ever seen Him as the deliverer, my friend, it's because the very same Father that taught Peter, "Thou art the Christ," has touched your heart already and has already given you the revelation. Because, my friends, it's past finding out. This is above us. It's too big for us to find it out. It's too high. And, my friends, you are in the natural flesh, you have the carnal mind. You don't have the faculties to understand it. You don't have the capacity to understand it. Let's go to our text and let's read what Paul said. He said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech and of word and of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Oh, my friends, there's so many that try to preach the gospel in intellectualism, in trying to explain to you through some kind of a natural flow of information, as though they found out anything on their own, and they could logically explain it and scientifically prove it. And all, my friends, by faith we understand how these things, or through faith we understand how these things, and that's an inward faith in you that would understand that God created all things that were made from nothing. You see, that scientists will say that's a bunch of foolishness. Well, remember, their ways are not His ways, and His ways are not their ways. My friends, through faith we understand these things. And my friends, the only way you'd ever have faith is because God gave it to you. God has revealed these things in you, my friends, that you would understand. And so Paul came not to them with excellency of speech. And certainly, Brother Cleveland, he could have, because he was under Gamaliel. He came up in one of the finest schools in Jerusalem. He
fared more than most of his contemporaries. He was headed in the right direction as far as that class went. As far as all that finding out things, my friend, he was headed in the right direction. But my friend, he was headed in a direction one day on the road to Damascus, and he was going down there to persecute some of your brethren. Why? Because they were doing what you're doing this morning. You were calling upon the name of Christ, and he was going down there so he might bind some of them and put them into prison. Oh, I look at some of these faces here, and I think about what Paul must have done to some of those sisters that were just barely able to get around, but because they called upon the name of Christ. And my friends, I believe there were some faithful there that called upon his name without any reservation whatsoever. They were ready to go to their death, even under Saul's stoning. But my friends, he met one down there, and Paul's ways, or Saul, I might say, Saul's ways was not his way. And he found out that God's way was not his own way. Because now, my friends, I find he turned 180 degrees, and he's turned in another way. He said, by this very one that he went down to persecute, now he's going to go preach the gospel concerning this one. He's going to go and declare very openly and plainly the original sin. He's going to go preach the foreknowledge of God. My friends, you won't find that out. You won't find it out through understanding of knowledge. Because, my friends, how can any man foreknow anything? My friend, no man can foreknow anything. But our Lord, he did foreknow a people. And he did predestinate those people. That's past finding out too, you see. Because we don't have the faculties in the flesh, in the natural mind, to understand bringing something about as though it had already happened, or with the surety that it had already happened. My friend, that's what God has done with his people. My friend, the reason that you'll be in heaven someday is because God foreknew you, and God predestinated you that you would be there someday. And not just be there, but be there in a glorified body, like conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, my friend, yes, that Roman letter 8, it does declare the glorious finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how what he came to do in his way. You see, my friend, every step he took, it was contrary to the ways of the natural men that came against him. My friends, I find him greater than all. And through his wisdom, he confounded the wise and the prudent. And you know what he said? I thank thee, Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. They couldn't find it out. It was past finding out for them. But thou hast revealed it unto babes, unto little babes. Not necessarily in age either. Little babes, many of us, my friend, and I say most of us, as far as the full glory and understanding of God, we are yet but babes. Sometimes we think that we got it all figured out. Brother Crane, out on the grounds, talked about sometimes he just like to take a little bit of a thimble and put it in the great ocean of truth. My friends, you better listen out on the grounds. You might hear something good out there. My friends, talk about him out there, I'll tell you. Let our words be seasoned with grace. Right. Somebody might be listening.
That's right.
You know, we need to be careful with that. But I tell you, my friend, here's a great, beautiful truth. And when the Lord reveals it to us, oh, my friends, it sticks. Yeah. It sticks. And nobody can take it away from you. They might sew your body up in a bag and worry you to death with dogs. But my friend, nobody can take it away from you, because the Father hath revealed it to you. Now listen, it doesn't come through this intellectualism, through this cunning words of speech, initially of speech and of wisdom. For I declare not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He'd already told them that the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. Oh, my friends, so many people in this world, you can tell them the simple truth of Christ Jesus and Him crucified, and they'll say, well, I just can't understand how it could be that simple. I just can't believe that that's the truth. My friends, they're still trying to find it out. They're still trying to search it out in their own mind, in their own wisdom. kingdom. But my friends, it comes revealed to the babe of Christ. And then we find that's in power. But he said, but the preaching of the cross is to them that are saved, the power of God. My friends, it is His power of God that lifts us up and makes us to see Him high and lifted up. Over there at Chambers Creek, Brother Mark was preaching about the crucifixion of Christ. Oh, my friends, I'll tell you very simple words. But I'll tell you, when the Lord seasoned it with that grace, my friends, I find that I can stand there, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, not for His sin, but because of what I've done. I find, my friends, that if I'm one of His, He paid for my debt. Brother David, He paid for my debt. And that convicts my heart. I don't know that my sins were poured out upon Him. I think about this, He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, could not sin, would not sin. Impossible. But yet, my friends, He would take our sin and be made to be sin. Why? That we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Oh, my friends, there's your Savior. Now, there's your Deliverer. Our ways are not His ways. What would our way be? Our way would be we wouldn't even die for a righteous man, let alone for sinners. For while we were yet ungodly, Christ died for the sinners. I didn't get that exactly right. That's the point, my friend. We were yet without strength. We were sinners. We are sinners still. But yet, because of His everlasting grace, is that love, that everlasting love, my friends, He came down from heaven. Here is some of His ways. You know, I haven't even read what I wanted to get to. Let me just go on with this. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. That's why. There's a qualification there, my friend, for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's how we get it revealed to us, by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. My friend, original sin is a deep thing of God. My friend, how God would know that even the people that He chose in Christ before the world was, even having the understanding of that original sin would enter into the picture, that we would become sinners. My friend, yet He loved us with an everlasting love and made provision of the Son in covenant before the world was, that Son, in due time, when the fullness of the time was come, my friend, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under law, Mosaical law, that He might redeem them which were under the law of sin and death, my friend. And if that's not the truth, us Gentiles don't have a chance. Because we never were under the Mosaical law. And I'll tell you what, He delivered us from the law of sin and death. And that's a way, that's past finding out how my Lord could take all of our sin, not just mine, but all of His people's sin. I'm talking about, my friends, not just all of us. I'm talking about all His people that He did foreknow. Take all their sins and bear those sins. It says that He bore our sins in His body. Where? On the tree of the cross. I don't glory in that old wooden cross. No, my friend, I glory in the one that went to that cross. And He, my friends, was not defeated by the cross. You know, yes, He died. My friend, here's a reality. That body died. That body died. You know, sometimes I have to make myself think about that. His body gave up the ghost. That Son of Man bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And that body that was there was buried in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. My friend, it was poorly dead. That body was not breathing. That body had no blood flowing through it. That body was dead. As we know dead. We know what dead is. We've seen it. My friends, we know He was dead. Oh, but my friend, His ways are not our ways. His understanding is not ours. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not His. Our thoughts is we go fishing. My friend, before we condemn Peter a little too far, we better understand our own little inadequacies. We better understand our own insufficiencies. Because, my friend, our sufficiency is not in our own. It's in Him. It's in Him that gives us the understanding. Because, my friend, only through faith could you ever believe and understand that that one Jesus Christ that lay in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, and the women went back there and they found that stone rolled away, and they looked in there and it was empty, and they said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen, my friend." And for you to believe that, only through faith will you ever understand. It's past finding out. And my friend, there's many people in this world that are still trying to search it out. They're looking for some kind of proof. The Shroud of Turin, for example. They got to see something tangible so they can get a grip on something spiritual. My friends, I'll tell you what teaches you. It says the Spirit, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. My friends, we had a great promise. We had a great promise by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He was here with His children. And we find that He said, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send Him." What's He going to send Him to do? He's going to send Him that He might teach you in all manner of truth. My friends, if we ever hear the gospel being proclaimed, and I don't mean hear it with our natural ears, but hear it with an ear of faith, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And to have those kind of ears, the Lord already had to touch your heart. He already had to put that Spirit within you. He already had to quicken you. "Pass over me," and said, "Live." And you responded, not because you decided you would. You were passive in that one, my friend. You responded out of obedience to the powerful call of the effectual call of our Lord, who this one has sent to work upon that heart of yours and give you the heart of feeling. And He's written His laws upon your heart. Yes, we're not under the burden of that old carnal law. But my friend, we are under a law. It's the law of Christ Jesus. And it's written in your heart. That's how come you feel it. If you've ever been pricked in the heart, it's because the Lord has touched that heart. It's given that heart feeling. And now there's a conscience. And that conscience, my friend, I believe is the nerve endings of the soul. It can feel that sin. Just like that law taught. What sin was? The law taught, "Thou shalt not steal." That way they would know that stealing was wrong. "Thou shalt not covet." Paul said, "I've not known sin by the law." And my friends, I'll tell you, spiritually speaking, you would not have known sin had it not been written in the heart. You know, there's a picture of that over there with the Gentiles. They were never under the Mosaic law. They were never under the Sinaitic law. And my friends, it says that if the uncircumcised do the righteousness contained in the law, it's a law unto them. My friends, they was touched in the heart, and it taught them what was written on stone. It made it right within their hearts. They understood it, they felt it, and they did it. My friends, this is our Lord revealing it unto us that we might understand. You know, I go back to some of these ways of God, and I think about how He brought His people forward, teaching them as they went along how He would deal with sin and how He would deal with His people. Abraham of old was given this son Isaac, and after being given this son of his old age, Abraham about 100 years old, Sarah was about 90, and you think, boy, the Lord finally he fulfilled that promise. And then the next thing we know, He says, "I take Isaac upon the mount and offer him as a burnt offering unto me." You know, He says, Abraham staggered not at the promise, he went. My friends, I believe he understood that there was something past finding out here, but he understood, revealed by the Spirit, that even though he would take that boy up on that mount of Moriah and there offer him as a burnt sacrifice, kill him dead, I mean, he meant to kill him. I tell you, he drew back the knife and he staggered not. Had the Lord not stayed his hand, it would have cut the throat of that boy. I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind, but God stayed his hand. My friend, here's the great ways of God. Here's one that's passed finding out. He made Abraham look around, and he saw there a ram with his horns caught in the thicket. Oh, my friends, I believe Abraham rejoiced. I believe he saw something there that was more than just a ram with his horns caught in the thicket. I believe he saw the Lord far off. He saw the real ram that would come in the likeness of sinful flesh, and yet without sin, the brightness of His glory, the expressed image of His person, what this old type had taught, finally came true. It finally came came to pass. My friends, it's past finding out. But I'll tell you, my friends, when we're able to see it, when we're able to feel it, when you're under the sound of the gospel and it touches our heart and you're lifted up in the Spirit and you say, yeah, I believe original sin. I believe election. I believe that God chose a people before the foundation of the world. I believe that He did. He did stand as a lamb and it had been slain before the world was. Oh, my friends, that's past finding out to me. And I understand how He can be in glory, but stand there as a lamb that had been slain. Oh, that one that John said there's none able to open the books and to loose the seal thereof. But yeah, there's one. He was made to see that there is one, and His name is Jesus Christ. My friend, that's your Savior. That's the one that bore your sins. That's the one that went to the grave. That's the one that came out of the grave. His ways are past finding out. It's unsearchable. But I tell you, in His house, He gives it to us as food and drink. It's grace. It's given. It's not labored for not to understand these things. But I tell you, there is some laboring to be done in the house of God. And that's not necessarily a part of this. But yes, it is in some ways. Because you see, we've been given the grace to understand that He did choose you before the world was. And He did predestinate you. And in vital sense, He's called you in regeneration in this time world. And we're looking forward to the point when He's going to manifest it all. It's going to be made in plain view for all. When He calls that body out of the grave, and that adopted body whom He's bought. Do you know that you're not your own? You're bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to He that bought you with His precious blood. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand how His blood can cover every child of God from the time of Adam to the last one that shall be conceived in this world. I don't understand that, but I believe it. I accept it as truth. Why? Because the Spirit hath revealed it unto us. You know, Paul says, I just have to give you what comes to mind. Paul said that He has revealed Him in me. Oh, my friends, do you know that He's revealed Christ in you? That feeling that you have. And I'm not talking about a natural feeling. It's spiritual. And my friends, when you feel it, there ain't a person alive that can tell you what it feels like. It's with you in the Lord. It's how you're dealt with. Just like old Saul. Oh, my friends, when the Lord dealt with him, he knew, Lord, what would you have me to do? My friends, he didn't go through some other man to get to Saul. He went directly in his face, Brother Sonny. And my friends, when that glory shone, it was past finding out. It was brighter, he said, than the noonday sun. Oh, my friend, the noonday sun is pretty bright around here, you know. You look at these cornfields and you'll see it. And he said he was brighter than the noonday sun. Oh, my friends, this great Lord who's past finding out, but He has revealed these things to us by His Spirit, yea, even the deep things. For what knoweth a man? For what man knoweth the things of a man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know them. He gives us revelation of these things. Oh, my friends, this is beyond our understanding of the natural mind. We can't stress that more. That by the natural intellect, you cannot figure these things out. It is... all glory belongs to the Lord. Everything, if you've ever been given any revelation of the Lord, no matter how small a thimbleful it might be, it came because of Him. It came just like He showed it to Abraham, my friend, just like He showed it to Jacob when he saw that ladder coming down from heaven and earth. My friend, that wasn't Jacob figuring that out. It was the Lord revealed it unto him. My friend, it had an impact on Jacob. How dreadful is this place? Oh, my friend, he wasn't saying how scary is it. He's saying, my friend, I can't get my face off the floor because I'm in the presence of His glory. Oh, my friends, when we hear His glory being pronounced as the King, when the King walks in the door, my friends, the subjects are to fall on their face. You remember at the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord revealed Himself to His disciples. They were there. You know, they weren't standing there and just saw Him transfigured. You know what they were doing? They were sleeping. They had fallen asleep. And they woke up and they saw Him transfigured in their sight. Him standing there talking to Elijah and to Moses. And they were talking to Him about the Lord's crucifixion, how His death and His burial and resurrection. You know, that's what Moses and Elijah did throughout all their writings and all the things pertaining. It pointed to Christ. Everything, my friend, everything we study in the Scriptures, we need to beg for revelation. How does this apply to Christ?
Amen.
If you don't find Christ in it, you better leave it alone. It's not there yet. You haven't got there. You haven't found it. But my friends, when it's revealed to you and you see Christ as that ram, you as Isaac, you know what happened to Isaac? He didn't die there. He was loosed. He was loosed. The ram was taken and sacrificed. My friends, that was us. We were loosed from the condemnation. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ. That's us. We've been set free from sin by the sacrifice of this one Jesus Christ. And He's unsearchable to try to figure Him out. But oh, my friends, little by little we grow in grace and knowledge of truth. Just a little here and a little there. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Some people think, well, I got to figure out all the Bible before I'm ever going to follow Him. Oh, my friends, you'll never get there. You'll never get there. But you grow in grace and knowledge and truth. You get a little here and a little there. And then when you're old, you think, well, I got it figured out. And then the Lord showers it back down on again. And then you hear Him proclaim it more. And then you hear Him say, you know, I studied that Scripture over and over and over again all these years, and I just never saw it. Why? Because it's unsearchable. It's unsearchable. I know it says search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But my friend, you'll never know it until He reveals it to you.
That's right.
You'll never see it. Oh, but when He makes it blossom, it's just like waking up on a spring day and you look out the window and it was barren yesterday and all of a sudden that hill is just covered with blueberries. Oh, my friend, He reveals something to you and you say, yes, I see it now. I'm satisfied with that. I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to lodge it close to me and I'm not going to ever let it go because that was of God. And then you fall on your face because you know that the Lord has dealt with you in Revelation. Paul said, I will come to Revelation. I will come to vision. He, you know, Paul didn't just figure these things out to write in the Scriptures. He says in a couple of places that the gospel was committed unto him. That word committed right there comes from the Greek word pistuo, which is actually where believers come from. You know where he got it? He got it revealed to him through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. To pin those things down. The Lord was telling Paul what to write. By the way, we don't have anybody getting it that way anymore. We don't have anybody with that kind of commission. We don't have anybody with that kind of charge. Writing new Scripture. Writing down new inspired Word. My friend, that ended with John. That ended with John. But you know what? Paul said that he's committed those things in the pen of Timothy. Parathikome. I've got if I pronounce it. But that means to lay it beside. To lay it beside you. You know what? It's been laid beside us. But you know what? This letter killeth. The letter killeth. It's been laid beside us. The letter killeth, though. If I try to figure things out only by the letter, I'm not going to get it. I'm going to miss it. I tell you what, my friends, when the Lord gives you the revelation of what you read, study to shew thyself approved unto God. Yes, my friends, you've got to go read it. And I exhort everyone under the sound of my voice, pick up this book and start reading it. It doesn't matter where you start. It doesn't matter where you end in the day. You look at one verse, you've done enough. If the Lord will give you revelation in it, if He'll give you increase, my friends, that'll be enough for one day. Matter of fact, I'll say this, if the Lord gives you increase, it'll be more than you can handle in one day. But I'll tell you what, you still need to pick it up. and you need to, not in order to get eternal life, but my friend, search the scripture for in them. You think you have eternal life. My friends, when I hear some brother begin to proclaim we love him because he first loved thee, that's one little bitty scripture, but it's a lifetime of study. It's a lifetime of trying to pray to God, Lord, give me more life on that. Give me revelation. And if the Lord be gracious and he shows you that that's talking about the great unconditional love and how you are touched by that love and how you return that love back to him. My friend, it's a lifetime of study. Even little old studies like Jesus wept. Two words, but yet a lifetime of study in it. Study the Word of God. You know, this has been one of the most beautiful gifts that the Lord left to His church. It's a love letter to you. I dare say that not a one of us in this room would get a letter from somebody in your mailbox, stick it on your table and not read it. You wouldn't do that. I know you wouldn't. You couldn't. Sometimes we can't hold it. Tear that envelope open fast enough. I just got to get in there and find out what he's writing to me. Oh, my friend, here's one that wrote you 66 love letters. And in those love letters, it's an innumerable, unsearchable ways of God. And how he has dealt with his people. And how he has dealt with sin. And how he will deal with the wicked. And my friends, you may have trials in your life. I know you do. There's not anything uncommon among us here. All things have happened to all of us are very much in common. It rains on the just and unjust alike. I dare say if you've had a problem, there's somebody else that's had one something like you. But I know one that has had one very much like you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like, and he knows what it means to hurt and to suffer. And my friends, more than you'll ever be able to search out, my friends, how in that last, and I know I'm shotgunning again, but I have to give it to you as it comes. But I think about the unsearchable of all this, and of this letter, and how we're told that in about the sixth hour, darkness was on the face of the earth. Here's something, my friends, that I don't even know if this will ever be totally revealed to us, not until we get to glory and see Him and lean our head upon His breast. What happened in those those 3 hours of darkness? Oh, my friends, I believe that's something that never was meant to be revealed to us. You know, that's one thing that's not in all the Gospels. It's consistent. It doesn't say a thing about what happened in those 3 hours. It doesn't detail that whatsoever. It details the first three. And it details the ninth hour, but it does not detail the sixth hour. Why? Because God would not look upon that. God the Father turned His face from the Son. And my friends, the sun and the stars refused a sign. I believe it as much as within me. But to believe that that was actually the end. But we do, I believe, know what happened. In general, He was made to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, my friend, it's hid from us. And thank God it is. Thank our Lord. I don't say that lightly either. Thank God it is. Why? Because I believe what He suffered was the second death. The very thing, my friend, that was lodged against you. Every bit of it, Brother Allen, not a bit of it. What did He ever leave out? He didn't just come and die 80% death, let you do the other 20. No, my friend, He took the whole load. He took the whole amount of sin that was owed against you, and it was placed in Him. And my friend, that's something you'll never have to see. Why? Because God will not look upon you directly. He'll look upon you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says this, and here's a way past finding out. I don't understand this. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Now, I can't understand that. Not through understanding of the natural flesh. Paul wasn't there. He wasn't there on that cross with the Lord. Not even the thief to his right was on the same cross as the Lord. Not only did that thief on the right suffer what the Lord suffered. My friends, the Lord suffered the shame of the death of the cross. That death, my friends, that God would pour out His judgment upon Him. My friends, we was crucified with Him. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, one of the most beautiful neverthelesses in the Scripture. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Paul makes sure we understand. Paul didn't deserve it. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Do you know He just defined what grace and mercy is? That's a definition of grace and mercy. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Why? Because you were so good? Not by the righteousness of which we have done, but by His mercy. He has saved us. That's what, my friend, has delivered you from the power of death, the power of eternal separation from God, is this one that bore your sins on the tree of the cross. His body was entombed in a borrowed tomb, but His body came out of that, yea, my friend, yea, risen. You know, that was the central, if you want to look at the central theme of Paul's preaching in the book of Acts, it is Christ Jesus and Him crucified and His resurrection.
Amen.
Everywhere, you know, people say, well, you know, you just really ought not preach the same sermon everywhere you go. Brother Mike, some of them are real good. And one of them was, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom ye have slain, God hath raised up from the dead. That's what Paul preached everywhere he went. You know, Paul wasn't a very popular fellow either. Preachers, you're not going to be a popular fellow in this world. Oh, it's good when we're all here together in one of these meetings, and when we're all here before the Lord, and we're all here desiring to worship and to give glory to God. But my friends, not everywhere in this world do you find such a luxury, such a blessing. My friends, He came among some that would take, and when He preached the resurrection of Christ, what did they do? They didn't come hug His neck. They grabbed Him by the neck and threw Him outside of the city and stoned Him. And in one city, the next city He went to, they not only stoned Him, but they left Him for dead. He went on down to the next city, and what did He do? Says He preached the gospel. Says He preached Christ and He crucified. And then what did He do? A little time later, He got up and He went right back to the city where they had cast Him out and stoned Him and left Him for dead. And what did He do? He went and confirmed the souls. That's not a sacrament of the church either. No, my friend, He confirmed that understanding. What I preached, I meant the first time, and it still stands, and I'll preach it. Oh, my friend, may we have the conviction to preach the truth, no matter how many people might oppose us. My friends, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than all the great upper seats of the world. But I tell you what, when you're at the door where the Lord is, and He's sitting there beside you, my friend, there's no greater place. I tell you, my friends, I love the old church. I love it not because it's Primitive Baptist. We need to understand something here. We ought not to worship the Primitive Baptist church. We ought to worship the head of the Primitive Baptist church. And now, my friends, that's not the moderator or anybody else around here. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, and His ways are not our ways. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I just don't know why they put that preacher up, and you probably might be saying that right now. Nevertheless, if we're following the Spirit, it may not be our ways. It may be His ways. Maybe the Lord will give us a blessing. You know, being not our own is a frightening thought to people. It's a frightening thought. We talked about how you're not your own. You're not your own because you're bought with a price. But you know, in this world we live in amongst the people. And I say good people, some very nice people. I work with a lot of them. I work around some of them. I shop at the shopping mall with them. I talk to them on the internet. Good people as far as their demeanor is, but I'll tell you what, as far as their trust in the Lord and their thoughts about not being their own is not the same.
That's right.
Their thoughts is, and maybe sometimes ours is, well, I'm not my own when I'm in the church service. When I'm in the church service, I won't be my own. When I get out here on my job, well, I'll be my own there. My friends, when I get on my job every week, I'm still not my own.
That's right.
I bought with a price. The Lord's higher than all that. His ways are past finding out. My friends, He fed Elijah with a raven. Not with a raven, but by a raven's actions. And He also, when that brook dried up, He not only took care of that, He sent him down to a widow's house. Now here's, you know, my ways are not your ways. This is unsearchable. This is past finding out. How a little widow woman could make that last cake and give it to that old Elijah, and then turn around and that meal still be in that box, and that cruise filled with oil, still sufficient for the day. My friends, His ways are past finding out. I tell you, my friends, depend on Him. I point you to Him, not to me, nor any of these other brethren. But I point you to the one that His ways are not our ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are not ours. His is. And I'll just leave you again with Isaiah, Psalms 145.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. You know, we could talk all this whole weekend, and we think, boy, we've exhausted just about every subject. But you know what? There'll be 12 baskets of fragments in every message. And more, if the Lord so desires. I thank you for your attention.